Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nazir Daf Mem Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin at the lower part of Daf Mem Hei Omid Beis. You'll notice a Mishnah, five lines from the bottom of Mem Hei Omid Beis. The Mishnah, Hoyu Mevashel Es Hashlomim Oy Shulchan. The Mishnah is essentially a continuation of our previous topic, the cooking of the Nazir Korban. He's cooking it or subjecting it to Shlika. Shlika, Shulchan, is either a bit undercooked or, according to other commentaries, overcooking. But it's a form, a level of cooking. Hakayin Noitel es Hazra B'Sheila Min Ha'ayel. The ayel is a ram, a two-year-old sheep. In addition to the chazav eshok that a kohen receives from a standard shlomim korban, the chazav being the breast meat and the shok being a part of the leg, the kohen, in the case of a shlomim of a nazir, also receives the zroa, a forearm of the animal. What else does the kohen receive? The chalas matzo achas min hasal, the rokik matzo achas. The nozir shlomim korban, and we've mentioned this in the past, has 20 loaves that accompany it. 10 of each of two varieties of baked goods. And they're referred to here. One is called the matzah type loaf, and the other is called the rokik type loaf. So we have the kohen receiving the zroa b'sheila. The b'sheila means cooked zroa, and the two loaves as well that the kohen receives. The nosein al kapi hanozir, they are placed on the arms of the nozir, or literally on the hands of the nozir, and umenifon, and there is a waving ceremony that's done where there's hand movement to up and down, to the sides. That's called tenufa. The acharkach hutar hanozir lishtos yain l'tomi l'mesim, and after that, the nozir is allowed to drink wine and defile to the dead. We continue at the top of Mem Vav Omer Aleph. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kevon Shinizrak Olov Echod Min Hadomim Hutar Hanozir Lishtos Biayin Uli Tomei Lemesim. Shimon says, once the blood is sprinkled of any of the korbanos, the Nazir bringing three korbanos at the conclusion of his Nazirus, Rabbi Shimon is, we'll say, more flexible or open to the idea of the blood sprinkling of any of the korbanos. That is the point at which the nozir is allowed to drink wine and defile to the dead, which were, of course, previously prohibited during the nazirus observance. The Gemara deals with the sources for these opinions. Tanu Rabbanan, v'achar yishteh hanozir yayin. What does this mean? It says, and afterwards the nozir is entitled to drink wine. Achar hamaisim kulon, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, after all the nozir required activities, including the haircut. So that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the haircut is also ma'akev, is a restrictive factor in allowing the nozir to resume the drinking of wine and defilement to the dead. The Chachomim say it's sufficient that one action is done after the after even one korban is sacrificed, the nazir can resume those things that were prohibited to him. The Rashi at the top, Achar Maisin Kulon, Achar Korban, V'Achar Tiglachas, the Tiglachas Ma'akeves Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. The next Rashi, V'Chachomim Omrim, Achar Maisi Yechidi, Achar Korban, V'Afal Gav Shadayin Lo Gilach, the Tiglachas Lo Ma'akvo. So we're trying to, with the markings and the way Rashi presents the sukya, the machlokas focuses on, does the haircut represent a binding factor or restrictive factor before the nazir is able to resume the activities that he, during the nazirus, he was restricted from. There's a toisus at the top, achar maisi yechidi, af echod min hadomim, kinemash masisin, uchudetoni, beperek mi shoma v'shoma chavero, one of, even after one of the blood of the one of the sacrifices blood is applied to the mizbeach, that would be sufficient. The Gemara continues, mai tamayu de rabbanon, what's the moker, the source for the rabbanon, what's their reasoning based on? The Gemara says it's based on a gzera shava, ksiv hocha v'achar yishte anozir yayin uksiv hosam achar hisgalchoi es nizro. So you have two nozir psukim in which the word achar appears. Ma hosam achar maisa yichidi. Just like there, it's after one action, which Rashi explains after the haircut, tenufa is done. So just like after the action of a haircut, tenufa is done, after one action, the tenufa is then done. So afkan achar maisi yechidi. So to hear with regard to the drinking of the wine after one action is done. The Gemara asks, emo ad deiko travaihu. Maybe it's necessary to have both the sacrifices and the haircut. In other words, that just the offering of a sacrifice would not be enough. Maybe it's you have to have, in addition to the sacrifices, the haircut as well has to be done, which we saw the Rabbanan saying it's not binding. Ihachi, well, if that's the case, then what benefit did you derive from the Gezeira Shava Lamali? What benefit did you derive from the Achar Achar Gezeira Shava? So in order to benefit from that Gezeira Shava, where we saw that after one action, after the haircut, tenufa was done, so too after a korban, then the drinking of the wine can resume. And just to repeat, and you don't need the haircut as well, according to this opinion. Before we go further in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading, HaGemara Mivareres Aliba Deman, according to whom Omar Rav, the Tnufa Benozir Malkeves. Rav is going to tell us that the Tnufa, the waving ceremony, is a binding factor with regard to the Nazir before he can drink wine. So there are also two, we'll say, Lishonos in presenting this Sugya, and that's what you see represented by the Roman numerals 1 and 2. 2, of course, you'll find almost halfway down, a little less than halfway down, on the base. The Gemara. Omar Rav. Tenufa benozir me'akeves. The waving ceremony that we saw involving the Zerua b'sheila and the two loaves, that is a binding ceremony before the nozir can drink wine. Alibo deman. According to whom did Rav say this? And we'll go through a couple stages in order to figure this out, and that's what we've highlighted with the double underlining. Ilemo alibo de rabbonon. If you're going to suggest that the rabbonon would be insistent on the tenufa, that's unlikely. Tiglachas amri rabbonon lom akva tenufa mibaya. The tiglachas is not binding. is not a restrictive factor, and we're going to assume for our discussion that the Tiklachas is a more central, a more core-oriented activity. And there's reason for that, for saying that, as opposed to the Tanufa, which is viewed in other areas of Halacha as a type of additional act, tangential type act when it comes to we'll say its expectation in different areas of Halacha. It's called Shiore Mitzvah. The Shiore Mitzvah, like the leftovers of a mitzvah, the residual aspects of a mitzvah, as opposed to the central expectations of a mitzvah. That's how Tanufa is regarded in general. So if Rav, who says Tanufa Benozir is Ma'akev, is a statement based on the opinion of the Rabbanan, we reject that. Why? Because even things as important as Tiglachas, that nevertheless is not a binding factor with regard to the wine drinking, certainly Tanufa, which is a residual element, certainly will not be a binding factor. Elo Alibo de Rebbe Eliezer. It must be a statement that is based on the Tano Rebbe Eliezer. The Gemara asks, if Rav is saying something that's based on the Tana Rebbe Eliezer, that would seem to be terribly obvious. Pshita, it's obvious, it's simple. Ha'omar Rebbe Eliezer, achar maisim kulam. Rebbe Eliezer said that a Nazir will not be allowed to resume drinking wine until all the Nazir mitzvahs are fulfilled. Well, what do I need Rav for then? So the Gemara answers, Ma'u detema, kevaduni kapora, shore mitzvahi, hochanami lo ta'akev. Since regarding areas where atonement is necessary, and the tenufa, which is the subject of Rav's din, is viewed as shore mitzvah, there's a comment made by the Tosfos in the upper part of the page in the narrow lines. Shorei mitzvahi kidomar perakam desvachim shim also letnufa shorei mitzvah klomar shelo asa. If you treat the tnufa as a leftover, as a residual element of the mitzvah, which means you didn't do it, hare kiivu lo kiper shelo ki mitzvah mufra vekiper dein ma'akevus. It's a type of action that the Torah makes reference to, but even if you don't do it, you still achieve the fulfillment of the sacrifice in question, wherever Tanufa happens to appear in the Torah. So one might have thought that since Tanufa is regarded as Shiore Mitzvah, a residual part of the mitzvah, and as Tosfos says elsewhere, we know that it's not binding. So here too, by the Nazir, maybe it wouldn't be a restrictive factor. Komash Malon. So Rav is telling us that with regard to the Nazir's ability to resume the drinking of wine and defilement of the dead, the Tanufa must be done. And he's saying that even within, he's saying that within Rebbe Eliezer, even though Rebbe Eliezer already has said that you need to have all the actions, but Rav is saying when he says all the actions, he means literally all the actions, even tenufa, which is an example of shiore mitzvah. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Umi ma'akva? Does tenufa really represent a restrictive factor, even according to Rebbe Eliezer? V'atanya. Here we have a source that we know is in accordance with Rebbe Eliezer. Zos Torah Sanozir. Bein Sheyesh Lo Kapayim, Bein Sheein Lo Kapayim. The rules of Nazirus apply whether he has hands or doesn't have hands. His hands were amputated. Now, if he doesn't have hands, so he can't do the Tanufa. The Tanufa is done on the kapayim. We saw that in the pasuk on the hands. So you see from here that it's not me'akev, that the rules that apply to a nazir, including his ultimate permission to resume drinking wine, apply even if he doesn't have hands. So this would then appear to be a problem for Rav. The Gemara responds, and you'll note that we have a very long response. We include a lot of information, but it's all part of this general response. The Elaha Desanya, Zos Taras HaNazir, Bein Sheyesh Lo Seor, Bein Sheyin Lo Seor. The laws of Nazirus apply, whether he has hair or he doesn't have hair. Hachinami Delo Ma'akva, are you going to say that the haircut is not a binding factor? V'hotanya, Nazir Mimurat, a Nazir whose hair has been ripped out. Beishamei Omrim, Eino Tzorach L'Havir Tar Al Rosho. First we'll translate it literally, and then the Gemara will offer a commentary that's different than the literal translation. But in the meantime, the Nazir Mimurat, the Nazir whose hair was ripped out, Beishamei says, Eino Tzorach L'Havir Tar Al Rosho. He doesn't need to have the razor pass over his head. Well, Basil Omrim Tzorach L'Havir Tar Al Rosho. Basil says that he does have to have a razor pass over, shave his head, even though there's no hair to be shaven. The Omer Ravino, my Eino Tzorach LeBeishamai. What does Eino Tzorach what does that mean? So, following the Girsa of the Rosh, or the version of the Rosh in the text, we continue reading. Tzorich v'ein lo takona. As far as Beishamai is concerned, the Nozir Memurat, he really needs to have his hair shaven off, and since he doesn't have any hair to shave off, he has no solution, no hope, and that shows that according to Beishamai, the haircut is me'akev. Ho le Beis Hillel yesh lo takona. According to Beis Hillel, he has a solution to enable him to resume the drinking of wine by passing the razor over his head, even though it's not going to be cutting off any hair. V'hainu de Rebbe Pedos. That which Ravina just said within Beis Shammai is in accordance with Rebbe Pedos. Namely, Ravina said that according to Beis Shammai, this poor chap, the Nozir Memura, he needs the haircut, but he can't accomplish it because he doesn't have any hair. As we said, Tzorach V'ein Lo Takona, this is in line with Rebbe Pedos. The Omer Rebbe Pedos, Beis Shammai V'Reb Eliezer Omru Dover Echad. In other words, Rebbe Eliezer also holds that Nazir requirements must be fulfilled. Just like Beis Shammai said, a haircut must be accomplished. My Rebbe Eliezer, what's the reference to Rebbe Eliezer? And Rebbe Eliezer, of course, is the central opinion in our discussion. Don't forget, Rav said his din that the Tenufa is Ma'akev within the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. So where do we see Rebbe Eliezer that's fixated on the idea of Nazir requirements being considered binding? Desanya, it says regarding the Mitzora. This is not a Nazir, but it's regarding another situation. You'll see the similarity in a minute. The Mitzora, person who experienced this type of defilement, the tzoras defilement, at the conclusion of his tzoras defilement, there's a period of a week that he waits for purification, at which time he then brings a sacrifice, and a part of the mitzora purification ceremony involves the application of blood of the korban osha mitzora, and oil that's applied to different parts of the mitzora's body, including the thumbs of his hand, and his right hand and his right foot. So it says in that context, Ein lo boyen yad v'regel, Ein lo taro ilom, is divrei Rebbe Eliezer. If the Mitzora is missing a thumb of his hand or foot, he cannot achieve purification ever. Rebbe Shimon Omer, Yanichenu al mekomo v'yetzei, or v'yotza. Rabbi Shimon says you would place these materials, the blood and the oil, on where the thumb used to be, and that's enough. Chomim omrim yaniach al shel smoil v'yotza. Instead of the first choice, the right thumbs, Chomim say you can put it on the left thumbs. Now, for our purposes, we have to let's take stock of what we have just seen. We saw Beis Shammai saying that the Nozer Memura, if he can't have his hair cut, so then he has no solution. He, in order for him to be allowed to resume drinking wine, he would have to go through the haircut, and he doesn't have any hair to cut off. And that opinion was paralleled with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And you see that Rabbi Eliezer, in the case of missing of the limb, like in the case of the Mitzora, or we saw in the case of the Rabbi Eliezer Brisa at the top of this page, Zostras Anozir, when it said, Bein Sheyesh Lo Kapayim, Bein Shein Lo Kapayim, the case of Yesh Lo Kapayim then is being paralleled to the case of Ein Lo Kapayim, which is saying that just like in the case of Ein Lo Kapayim, it can't be fulfilled, even if he has hands, if he doesn't do it, if he doesn't do the action of Tenufa, he hasn't fulfilled his requirements. And the Nozir will not be able to resume the drinking of wine. All of that is, of course, what Rav was saying, that Tenufa by Nozir is Me'akev. Lishno Achrino Amri Law. Well, we go over this sugi again with a different version. Omar Rav, Tenufa Benozir Ma'akeves. The waving ceremony of a Nozir is a binding or restrictive factor before he can resume drinking wine and defile to the dead. Alibo Deman, according to whom is Rav saying this? Ilemo Alibo de Rebbe Eliezer. Notice here on the first choice, and you can easily contrast this with the stages of analysis in the first Lashon. There, use your markings, use your marks to navigate quickly. You can see back in Lashon number one, the Gemara opened up with Ilei Maliba de Rabbonon. Here we're opening up with Ilei Maliba de Rebbe Eliezer. If Rav's statement is taught based on the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, well, that would be superfluous. Pshita, that's obvious. Omar Rebbe Eliezer, achar ma'isim kulam. Rebbe Eliezer already said that a nozir is not able to resume his previously restricted activities unless he does all the ma'isim that the Torah prescribes, including the tenufa, the waving. Hello, aliba de rabbanan. So Rav said tenufa v'nozir's ma'akev. That must be according to the Rabbanan. But now, that gets us involved with a very, rigorous back and forth discussion. You can see we have on the side a triangle feature under the Mivneh Henning. This is a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. The triangle facing point up, Kushya, inverted, Tshuva, response. So, the Gemara asks, if Rav is teaching Tenufa Ma'benozir Ma'akevus according to the Rabbanon, Hashto Yeshlo Mar Tiglachasami Rabbanon Lo Ma'akva Tenufa Mibaya. The Rabbanon say that even the haircut is not a restrictive factor. The Tenufa, all the more so, being as we saw before, we view it as Shiore Mitzvah. It's a residual aspect of the Mitzvah that should be binding. If the haircut's not binding, then certainly the Tenufa is not going to be binding. The Gemara responds, Umi lo ma'akva? Can you be so swift to say that the tenufa is not binding? V'atanya, we have a source that says, Zoyis teres ha'nozir, bein sheyesh lo kapayim, ubein she'ein lo kapayim. These are the rules of the nozir, whether he has hands or not. And that means that just like someone that doesn't have hands won't be able to do the tenufa, someone that does have hands, if he doesn't do the tenufa, he is not fulfilling his requirements. So that you're supposed to see from this source that the tenufa is binding. Well, we ask v'ela ha'desanya zoyis teres ha'nozir bein sheyesh lo seyar bein shein lo seyar hachinami de ma'akva. In this drasha, the Nazir is presented, whether as having hair or not, are you going to say that the haircut is binding? V'ha Tanya. But we have a brisa that says Nazir Memurat. Beishamayomrim Eino Tzorach Lahavir Tar Al Rosho. If he's a Nazir that lacks hair, you don't have to apply the razor to his head. Ubeisilo Omrim Tzorach. And Beisilo says that the Nazir Memurat has to pass the razor over his head, even though no hair is going to be cut off. He goes through that ceremony, and that's enough, even though there's no hair that's going to be cut. If we just glance together at Rashi, we have a star to make it easier to find the Rashi we want to read together. Fifth wide line under the Gemara text in the middle. V'atanya nozer mur beis hillel omrim, tzorach lavir tahar al rosho, demashma diyavir al rosho v'yotza. Let him pass the razor over his head, and he has fulfilled his requirements. The lo ma'akfa. It's the fact that the Torah speaks about hair being removed. That's not a binding factor. Diyesh lo takon. He has this solution. Alma honami detoni bein shein lo kapayim. So, in a similar vein, the source that says whether he has or doesn't have hands. Hachinami de lo ma'akfa. It's not binding. And then this would be Vikashya LaRava. Some Girsos have Rava. We read before Rav, but for our purposes it's the same. This would be then a problem for that teaching that Tanufa is Ma'akev. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rebbe Avina. My Tzorech LeBeis Hillel. When Beis Hillel says Tzorech, you know what that means? Tzorech V'ein Lo Takona. LeBeishamai Yesh Lo Takona. As far as Beis Hillel is concerned, and this is, I would say, is the shita that we're concerned with right now, because we mentioned that Rav said his halacha even according to the Rabbonin. And here you have Beis Hillel, which represents a very authoritative opinion, saying that if he doesn't have any hair, he simply has no solution. And that's what Beis Hillel's comment of Tzorach meant. Tzorach, he needs to shave his hair, and he has no takona because he doesn't have any hair. That shows us that it's ma'akev. And by the way, according to Beis Shammai, he has a takona. Though he has his hair is ripped out, all he does is he passes the razor over his head. And according to Beis Shammai, so you see that it's not ma'akev. The hair removal is not a binding factor. Now, this presentation of Beis Shammai is upliga de Rebbe Pedos. This is at odds with the Rebbe Pedos approach that we saw earlier. According to Rebbe Pedos, as Ravina had presented Beis Shammai, I should say in the previous Lashon of the Gemara, Rebbe Pedos had paralleled Beis Shammai with Rebbe Eliezer. And with regard to Rebbe Eliezer, so we saw that the absence of the mitzvah fulfillment remained a binding factor. So that was, and Rebbe Pedos paralleled Beis Shammai to that statement of Rebbe Eliezer. Here, you see that Beis Shammai says Yesh Lo Takon, even though he won't be able to fulfill the hair removal aspect, he nevertheless is able to resume the drinking of the wine. Before we go on with the new Mishnah, we glance at the side. We have a Nosei / Mivne heading, a volcano shape or trapezoid. Appears Mikrim Shel Tiglachas Al Hakrovas Korbon Shinimtsa Posel O Shinase Sheloi Lishmo. Haircuts taken on the basis of a korban being offered but found to be unfit or disqualified or having been offered without the proper intention. Lo Lishmo means without the proper directed intention. The Mishnah. Gilachal hazevach v'nimtza posel. A nozir shaved his head, based on one of the sacrifices being offered, and that sacrifice was found to be unfit. Tiglachos psula uzvachov lo alu lo. The haircut is unfit, and the sacrifices do not count toward his obligation. Regarding this last point, that zvachov lo alu lo, let's describe what happened once again. The nozir, based on the offering of one sacrifice, he took his haircut, but then it was revealed that that sacrifice was unfit. It was puzzle. There are many different disqualifying factors that could arise. Whatever it was, the sacrifice was found to be unfit. So the haircut that he took is also unacceptable. And as such, he needs to wait another 30 days before he can take a haircut again. In the meantime, after taking that haircut, he also offered the other two nozir sacrifices. But since he needed to wait 30 days before doing it again, the other sacrifices that he offered were offered prematurely. And therefore, lo olu lo, they don't count. He doesn't get credit for them. Let's look at the Tosfos together. On the upper part of the page, the fourth line from the top, uzvochav lo olu lo, shar hazvochim shikriv achrei hatiglachas psula. The other sacrifices that he offered after the faulty haircut, disqualified haircut, lo olu lo, those other sacrifices do not count toward his requirements. Since he had to really wait 30 days until hair growth, at this premature point, the other sacrifices were not fit to be sacrifices for a haircut. We therefore have to consider those other sacrifices being offered before the completion of his nazirus. And of course, they're unacceptable. We turn back to the Mishnah. Gilach al hachatos shelo lishma. One of the nozir concluding sacrifices is a sin offering. A sin offering that's offered without proper intent is essentially a puzzle sacrifice. It's a disqualified sacrifice. So he had offered a chatos shelo lishma, and then based on that took the haircut. The achakach hevi korbanosov lishmon, and then he brought the other sacrifices with proper intent. Tiglochosov psulo zvachov lo alulo. The haircut that he took was unfit. It was based on a rejected sacrifice. And the other sacrifices that he offered, albeit with nice intention, but they were done likewise prematurely, because at the point that he took his haircut, it was a disqualified haircut. He had to wait 30 days before he could take a haircut. So those other sacrifices, even though they were offered lishma, it nevertheless doesn't count. Gilach al ha'oila oyal shlomim shelo lishmon. Now, this third scenario we're going to find is going to be a machlokas tanoim. So the Tanakama holds, regarding a case of the sacrifice of an ola or a shlomim, and he did that, he sacrificed them without their specific proper intention. V'achakach hevi korbanoisov lishmon. So he took the haircut based on either an ola or shlomim sacrificed without proper intention. And so we have stage one, a shlomim offered, shelo lishmon, then haircut. And then he brings the other sacrifices. Vayachikahevi korbanosov lishmon. Tiglachosov psula, uzvachov lo alulo. We have a rule that a sacrifice that, other than a chatas or osham, a sacrifice like an ol or a shlomim that are done shelo lishmon, the sacrifice is kosher but lo alu lebailim l'mshem choiva. It means that the meat or in the case of the Ola, it can be offered on the altar. The korban is kosher per se, but the owner who was required to bring those sacrifices doesn't get credit for them. So as far as the Tana Kama is concerned, since the owner is not getting credit for them, it's tantamount to taking the erka based on a nidova, based on a voluntary sacrifice. That doesn't count. That's not considered a Nazir who fulfilled his haircut requirement. And the same issue comes up. Then he would have had to wait 30 days, and he didn't. He offered the other sacrifices prematurely. And therefore, Zvachav lo olulo, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon, though, disagrees. Oiso hazevach lo olulo, avol sh'ar zvachim olu. The first sacrifice, the Ola or Shlomim, that he did shelo lishma, it doesn't count for his requirement, but the other sacrifices are acceptable. They're kosher. They and not only kosher, they're olu, he gets credit for them. And this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who says that a nazir, even if he took a haircut based on the offering of a korban nidava, it would be an acceptable haircut. So we have a situation here, as far as Reb Shimon is concerned, because of his shita, that a nazir who takes his haircut based on a voluntary type korban, this first korban is no worse than that. So we have a kosher haircut, and therefore the other sacrifices were not offered prematurely. As far as the first sacrifice, he needs to bring another one because of the rule that it's lo olu lebailim l'shem choiva. Ve'im gilach al shloshton v'nimtzo echod mehen kosher. If a nazir sacrificed all three korbanos and one of them was found to be kosher, in other words, the others not, tiglachoso k'shera, the haircut that he took is acceptable because his haircut followed one kosher korban, one acceptable korban. V'yovi shar zvochem, the others, though, he will have to make up because they were found to be unfit. Rashi points out that when we say that the haircut is kosher, it's ledivrei hakol. This is something that not only Reb Shimon, who we saw was lenient, would accept, but even the Tanakhama would accept this. Omar Rav Ado Bar Ava, Zois Oimeres Kosov Reb Shimon. From this Mishnah, we can conclude what we said in our explanation, that Reb Shimon holds Nozir Shigilach al Shalmei Nedova Yotza, that a Nozir who took his haircut based on the offering of a voluntary Shlomim offering, meaning it's a sacrifice that's not even related to the Nazirus requirement, but nevertheless he first offered this voluntary Shlomim sacrifice, then took his haircut, he has fulfilled his haircut requirement. My taima, what's the basis of this leniency? Diyamakra, the pasuk says, V'nosan al ho'esh asher tachas zevach hashlamim. The pasuk describes the hair being placed on the fire under the zevach hashlamim. V'lo kosav al shlamov. The pasuk doesn't appear in the possessive form, namely, his shlomim, the nozir shlomim, but rather it speaks about zevach hashlomim, shlomim in general, even a voluntary type shlomim offering. That's sufficient for the nozir to fulfill his haircut requirement following such a korban. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.